This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pinsham, and I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by the JNS on April 19, 2013. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are pain, epilepsy, oncology, and stereotactic radiosurgery. Neurosurgical injuries resulting from the 2011 tornadoes in Alabama. The experience at the University of Alabama at Birmingham Medical Center. A clinical article by Joseph Miller and colleagues. On April 27, 2011, there were 206 confirmed tornadoes across the southeastern United States that killed 248 people, displaced 44,000 residents, and resulted in over $4 billion of damage. In an 8-hour time period, the Division of Neurosurgery at the University of Alabama Birmingham Medical Center was involved in the triage of 134 patients and received 27 admissions for tornado-related neurosurgical injuries. 85% of admissions experienced spinal injuries, 17% demonstrated spinal cord injuries. 4 patients, or 15%, suffered intracranial injuries, and half of these patients suffered both brain and spinal column injuries. The mechanisms of injury were remarkable, with most patients found outside their homes and several thrown more than 100 yards. 1/3 of the patients suffered crush injuries while using their bodies to protect children and loved ones from falling debris. Within 8 hours of admission, 16 patients required operative intervention. 14 of the 16 operations were spinal decompression and reconstruction procedures. Among these 27 patients, there was one death, for a 3.7% mortality rate. 81% of patients were discharged home with normal neurological function. The management of mass neurosurgical injuries following this natural disaster was dependent on a team approach and optimal mobilization of manpower and operative resources. Foramen ovale puncture, lesioning accuracy, and avoiding complications. Microsurgical anatomy study with clinical implications. A laboratory investigation by Maria Peris-Thelda and co-authors. The goals of this study were to demonstrate the anatomical basis of complications related to foramen ovale puncture and to provide anatomical landmarks for improvement of safety, selective lesioning of the trigeminal nerve, and optimal placement of electrodes. 50 dry skulls and 18 formalin-fixed specimens were studied. The best radiographic projection for foramen ovale visualization was evaluated, as well as the optimal trajectory angles, insertion depths, and topographies of the lesion. Most severe complications during foramen ovale puncture are related to incorrect needle placement intracranially or extracranially. The authors found that the needle should be inserted 25 mm lateral to the oral commissure, forming a 45-degree angle with the hard palate in the lateral radiographic view, directed 20 degrees medially in the anteroposterior view. Once the needle has reached the foramen ovale, it can be advanced by 20 mm up to the petrous ridge. Safety distances to avoid injury to the internal carotid artery and other intracranial complications were also described. The 45-degree inferior transfacial 20-degree oblique radiographic projection visualized most of the foramen ovale. Anatomical targeting of the first division of the trigeminal nerve in specimens was more efficiently achieved by inserting the needle in the medial third of the foramen ovale. For targeting the second division, insertion in the middle of the foramen ovale. And for targeting the third division, insertion in the lateral third of the foramen ovale. Fast pre-surgical functional mapping using task-related intracranial high gamma activity. A laboratory investigation by Tianyi Quan and co-authors. Electrical cortical stimulation is widely used as the gold standard for pre-surgical brain function mapping, but it is a time-consuming procedure. Functional MRI is an alternative way of localizing eloquent motor and speech areas before the resection of an epileptogenic zone, but the accuracy and reliability of fMRI mapping is still a concern for clinical use. In this article, researchers from Tsinghua University School of Medicine in Beijing report on their study showing that the cortical EEG recording or electrocorticography recording can do a better job than fMRI for mapping motor functions. The high-frequency cortical EEG signal in the motor cortex can be reliably modulated by motor tasks like hand or tongue movement. In this study, a simple statistical method, the general linear model, was used to find the regions with most prominent activity during movement. Compared to the results of electrical cortical stimulation as a gold standard, the author's electrocorticography-based method showed a higher specificity and sensitivity than fMRI. The other advantage of the author's technique is its speed. The procedure can be accomplished in as little as 5 minutes, compared with the 1 or 2 hours required for traditional electrical cortical stimulation. Efficacy of vagus nerve stimulation in brain tumor-associated intractable epilepsy and the importance of tumor stability. A clinical article by Kunal Patel and colleagues. Vagus nerve stimulation has been used as an alternative treatment in medically intractable epilepsy for more than 15 years. Most studies on vagus nerve stimulation show a reduction in seizure frequency of at least 50% in around one-third of patients. In this study, the authors investigated the efficacy of vagus nerve stimulation in patients with intractable seizures associated with brain tumors. Of the 16 patients included in the study, half responded to vagus nerve stimulation with an average reduction in seizure frequency of 42%. This reduction in seizure frequency varied by extent of tumor progression, where there was an 11% decrease in patients with progressing tumors and a significantly higher 66% decrease in patients with stable tumors. In this small retrospective study, the authors show that vagus nerve stimulation may lead to a substantial improvement in seizure frequency in patients with medically intractable tumor-related epilepsy. It appears to be particularly effective in patients in whom tumors do not progress. The authors recommend that vagus nerve stimulation therapy should be considered for patients with stable tumors and medically intractable epilepsy once all respective surgical options have been exhausted. A case-matched study of stereotactic radiosurgery for patients with multiple brain metastases, comparing treatment results for 1 to 4 versus 5 or more tumors. A clinical article by Masaki Yamamoto and co-authors. Although this is not a standard treatment, there is now a trend for patients with 5 or more tumors to undergo stereotactic radiosurgery alone. The author's aim in the present study was to reappraise whether results of stereotactic radiosurgery alone for tumor numbers of 5 or more differ from those with 1 to 4. The author studied 2,553 consecutive patients who underwent stereotactic radiosurgery alone for brain metastases. These 2,553 patients were divided into two groups. 1,553 patients with 1 to 4 tumors were in group A, and 1,000 patients with 5 or more tumors were in group B. Because there was considerable bias in pretreatment clinical factors between groups A and B, a case-matched study was conducted. Ultimately, 1,096 patients, 548 each from group A and B, were selected. Post-treatment median survival time was significantly longer in the group A patients than in the group B patients. However, the post-treatment median survival time difference of 0.9 months between the two groups was not clinically meaningful. Furthermore, patients with 5 or more metastases have non-inferior results compared to patients with 1 to 4 metastases in terms of neurological death, local recurrence, repeat stereotactic radiosurgery, maintenance of good neurological state, and complications related to stereotactic radiosurgery. Mediation of multiple pathways regulating cell proliferation, migration, and apoptosis in the human malignant glioma cell line U87MG via unphosphorylated STAT1, a laboratory investigation by Gang Zhao and co-workers. Malignant gliomas are the most common primary central nervous system tumors. Despite the multidisciplinary approach to their treatment, prognosis remains poor. In this study, the authors demonstrated that human glioblastomas exhibit diminished expression of signal transducer and activator of transcription 1 or STAT1 proteins. Transfection of the U87MG cell with STAT1 promoted cell death through mechanisms that depend on transcriptional activation of genes encoding proteins involved in modulating or promoting cell death, such as caspases and BCL2, as well as those involved in cell cycle arrest, such as P21WAF1. These effects were associated with upregulating cleaved caspase 3, BAX, and P21, and downregulating BCL2 expression. Besides the above STAT1-dependent apoptosis-modulating genes, other novel STAT1 target genes may provide significant insight into the role of therapy for brain cancer in humans. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.